Are you ready for the Word of God this morning? Are you sure? Okay. All right. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read the first 10 verses today. We're going to talk about God's plan for the new man. Last week we learned about the two men, the old man and the new man. Well, God has a plan for the new man. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Being born again is without doubt the most pivotal experience or event that any of us are ever going to have. The new birth marks a completely new direction in our life because we are genuinely a changed person. Our spirit is now literally alive from the dead. If you're saved, God's new man is now alive from the dead and is living in you. The new man or woman is the real you. This is just a shell we live in, this body of ours. He is the real you that will last for all eternity. So what now? Is that it? Are we done until we get to heaven? Where do we go from here? Do we just go back to our old life and somehow drag the new man along with us? Many have tried that very thing. Some of you have tried that. How's that working for you? Not so good. Well, I have some good news for you, and that is that the same Bible that showed you who Jesus is, and the same Bible that showed you how to become born again, the same Word of God that gave you new life also tells you exactly what to do next. There are four steps that complete God's plan for your new man. If you're born again, step one is already complete. We are quickened together with Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, "Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ." Colossians 2:13, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." If you have been born again, step one is complete. Until you do what step one requires, there will be no more steps. Step one is absolutely essential. This also means that you are complete in Christ. In Christ, you are a new creation, and you are, just like it says, complete. I want to read it from Colossians 2:10. "And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." You say, "Well, Pastor, what's that mean?" Well, it means exactly what it says it means. You are complete. That means that you have satisfied all of God's requirements. You will never be any more or less pleasing to God than you are right now. Do you know why that is? You say, "Is that true? I'll never be more or less pleasing to God than right now?" If you're saved, that's true. The reason is that God is 100% pleased with Jesus. Do you believe that? How could God not be 100% pleased with Jesus? I mean, he's perfect. He never did anything he shouldn't have done. He never failed to do everything he should have done. He doeth all things well. Everything about Jesus is perfect. And you, if you're born again, are now what? in Christ. Thus, because you are in Christ, God is also 100% pleased with you. Not because of any goodness you have or any good thing you may have done, but He is 100% pleased with you because of Jesus. And you are in Christ because of that amazing love of God. That puts you in a very interesting position. I hope you realize where you are at this point in your life. Whatever you may do now, whether you follow God's plan for your new man or not, must be done completely by your own choice. There's nobody going to stand over you and try to make you do anything. You can say, well, I've just got to please God. No, you don't. Sorry. God's already 100% pleased. You don't have to do anything. Oh, I've got to serve God so He will love me and bless me. No, you don't. He will love and bless you anyway because you are in Christ. Now, granted, there are promises that you can meet the conditions of that will even bring greater blessings, but in Christ you have met all the requirements. Are you beginning to get a hold of this? In Christ, you have met every requirement God has. Because Jesus has, and He's done it on your behalf. You don't have to get baptized. You don't have to join the church. You don't have to give. You don't have to tithe. Tithing and giving are both different things. You don't have to lift one little finger in order to please God if you are in Christ. God has placed you in such a unique situation that the only true motivation left to take even one more step in God's plan for your new man is to do it out of love and out of gratitude for what He has done for you. There's going to be no other reason. God's not going to stand over you with a switch. Granted, there are consequences for sin. That's a basic law. There are consequences for wrong actions and there are rewards for right actions, and that's not going to change. That was true before you got saved. You just didn't notice it as much. Love is the only motivation that God is interested in. No other is acceptable before Him. So, God says the second step of His plan for your new man is that we be raised up together. It's one thing to have kids. It's another thing to raise them up. Amen? Can I get an amen from any parent out there? Boy, is that a love being the one acceptable motive to follow God's plan for your new man, there are some other good and acceptable reasons that we ought to follow that plan. One is that God is the one who knows what's best for us. Just like the parents are the one who know what are best for the kids in most cases. Of course, with God, that's a total thing. It's acceptable. Let me ask you, how you think a child would be best raised up. Are you a child of God? Then you're a child, aren't you? How's a child best raised up? To be an orphan on your own out in the world, surviving as best you can? Or to be raised up as a part of a loving family? Which do you think is the best way to do that? Yeah, that's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? Why would that not also be best for our new man? Certainly is. Now, there are no perfect families, and there are no perfect churches, but you're still a lot better off than you would otherwise be out there in the world on your own. After all, in every church, just like in every family, there's some real characters. We've always had some real characters in our church. I won't mention any names, but not to mention, there's always going to be other new members that may not have learned much yet about how to love you. It's a learning process, isn't it? It doesn't happen immediately. But God says that He wants us raised up, and He wants us raised up together. And not just together with Him, together being first, and then all of us with Him. The number one thing that we Christians need is to grow up strong in the Lord. Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire ye the sincere milk of the Word. Why? That you may grow thereby. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be both glory both now and forever. Amen. If you're awake and you're listening, paying attention, spiritual growth should indeed be going on right now. Your spirit should be soaking up these things, realizing that you are complete in the Lord, realizing there's not a single thing required of you. The only thing, the only reason, the only motive for you to do what's best for you and for you to do what's right and for you to do what God has planned for you is because you love Him and you trust Him and you want to be where He would have you to be. That makes for a marvelous situation in God's house. This is why you want to get all you can get. Bible study, home teams, Wednesday Bible study, self-study, lots of reading that you may grow thereby, God says. God's plan for you, new man, is also designed to make us sit together. To make us sit together. That's going on right now, obviously, is it not? The Bible says that we're to be quickened together with Him. It says that we're to be raised up together with Him. And it says that we're to be made to sit together. Now, that's not just the obvious of sitting in a congregation. But what does this thing mean, made us sit together? It's a very long, hard to pronounce Greek word. It means to give a seat in company with. To give somebody a place, a seat. God has reserved for you your very own seat at His table. Do you realize that? He has reserved for you your very own, nobody else's, but your very own seat at His table. In Matthew 8:11, Jesus said, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, that's us in the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes church members get upset if they come in and someone has taken their seat. Let me ask you, how many of you are sitting pretty much where you always sit? You like having your own seat in God's table, don't you? See how that is? I don't really scold you much about that, do I? You really don't hear me harp on that too much. Hey, it's your seat. God has made a place for you, and it's your place. We like having our own place, our seat. That's my spot, right there beside that lady in the white blouse there. Now, if you come and you find someone else sitting in your place, the best advice I have for you is to just come a little earlier next week. Now, it may be bad manners to claim a seat in the auditorium. I'm not really going to say that's a good thing to do. But it sure feels good knowing that God has made a place for you in His body and in His kingdom. It's my place. Nobody can take my place. Say that. Nobody can take my place. Does that feel good? Nobody can take my place. It's mine. God made it for me. And we get to sit in our place together. Amen. In Christ Jesus. I could talk about the marriage supper of the Lamb and all the things we read about that's coming in heaven. And it's all built around this premise that we get to sit together and, well, it's a wonderful, wonderful privilege. Now, that last part for God's plan is here in chapter 2, verse 22. It says that God wants us to be builded together. Builded together. In whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. What is this habitation built of? First of all, a habitation is another very long Greek word, and it means a dwelling place. It's a house. It's a place to live. It's a place to be, a dwelling place. This house of God is called a church in the New Testament. It's what Timothy said. It's all through the Scriptures, very clear. Be thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. As you can see, a church is built out of believers. Sheetrock and steel beams and two-by-fours don't make a church. Believers make a church. Saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus' blood. Following Jesus in baptism and being made part of the body, which is His church. Colossians 1:18, and He is the head of the body, the church. Not because we have to. Not because we have to. But because we want to. When God saved me, He put something inside of me that made me want to follow Him, that made me want to obey Him, that made me want to even be like Him. Now, I have a lot of trouble with that. Don't you? I got this flesh that doesn't want much to do with any of that. But the Lord inside me has changed everything. And now I do what I do because I want to. I want you to understand something. I can make a living without being your pastor. You understand that? I'm not doing this for a paycheck. I'm doing this because I want to. Because it's what God's called me to do. And in my heart of hearts, I want more than anything on this world to do what God called me to do. To be what God would have me to be. Not because somebody's standing over me with a switch. Well, I'm not going to bless you if you don't go do what I told you. That's not how it works. There's only one acceptable reason to serve God. There's only one acceptable reason to follow God. And that's because you want to. Out of a heart of love that's filled with gratitude for what Jesus did for you. He didn't just die for your sins. He didn't just pay for them. But He rose again. And He came back. And He came all the way ahead in time looking for you and found you. There used to be these bumper stickers. Mark will probably remember back when we were first in the ministry together. And they said, I found it. Remember those? No, you didn't. He found you. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. Together, according to the plan of God, we become a habitation, a dwelling place of God in this world. God not only dwelling in us individually, as He does, but also in our midst as we sit together in heavenly places. We become a place, a house, a dwelling place, where believers and lost people alike can come and can experience the presence of God. Have you experienced the presence of God this morning? If you haven't, you weren't paying attention. God's been all over this place this morning. We get to become together. And especially when we lift up praise to God together, the Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. Together in the Lord, we are made into something glorious and powerful, dedicated to bring glory and honor to the Lord. What do you experience when you come into the dwelling place of God? Well, you sit among believers who are spiritually alive. You get to see a family with children of God in all stages of life being raised up together. You get little babies, you get mature ones, you get adolescents that aren't really behaving themselves very much. You get all that. Amen? You get everybody, every stage of life, every stage of spiritual development. You see individuals that every one of them has their own place where they belong. You get to see one body made up of many who are committed to the purpose for which God saved us. Some are more committed, some are less, but we're all in the program together. and you see God. Maybe not visibly, but you see Him in every one of His children. And collectively, as we praise Him, you experience His power and you experience His presence. God's plan for your new man is not particularly complicated at all. It's certainly easy to follow. Jesus said it would be. He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." That yoke is that which ties the two of us together, you see. The benefits are enormous, especially later. You've no idea. Paul said it. He said that the trials of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. But it is strictly voluntary. Because without choice, there can be no love. And without love, there can be no glory. Do you love Jesus today? Are you here because you want to be?
Amen.
It's just like the Scriptures tell us. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love Him because He first loved us." How can anyone not love the One who died for our sins and was buried and rose again and came back to save us? How can anyone just not fall in love with Him? Well, I don't know if God's going to have me preach on His plan for your old man next week or not. I kind of doubt it. But if He does, I can assure you that it won't be a feel-good sermon. And it'll be pretty short. Because this old man is not going to be around for the main part of the program. This old man is going to be left behind. And I am not unhappy about that at all.